The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 4 at 4.
Hour number two of The Drive underway. Parker Pewitt is in with your top four at four, Parker.
All right, first up, three Vols in action last night in the NBA Summer League. Jordan Bones scored 6 points, shooting 2 for 7, had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Admiral had a tough day, scoring just 2 points with 2 assists in 14 minutes. And Grant Williams scored 5 points, had 6 rebounds, 3 assists in 19 minutes, led the team with a plus 20 plus minus.
Sounds like Grant Williams is off to the best start of the former players, which I guess shouldn't be much of a surprise. But I saw where Bone had 3 turnovers, too, and not a ton of minutes. Yeah. So, I mean.
How was his first game, though?
Yeah. I hope he makes it. Certainly wish him the best. I mean, it sounds like he's going to get paid to play basketball somewhere this year. I'm skeptical of whether or not he ever plays in the NBA this season. But feel like he could have helped himself coming back one more year. We'll see.
All right, number two. The MLB Home Run Derby was last night, and Pete Alonso bested Vladimir Guerrero Jr. 23-22 in the final round to win the Derby. But Alonso had just 57 home runs through all three rounds compared to 91 by Vladimir Guerrero.
It's not about the popularity. It's about the Electoral College.
That's actually a pretty good analogy, I guess. I mean, it's the rules are the rules.
Hit that one out of the park.
That's the way they do it. Man, those guys were hitting some bombs. That was fun to watch.
What was the record? What's the record by Hamilton a couple years ago?
Yeah, that's broke. That was broke. 30 because
I thought he still holds it.
Vlad hit 31 home runs in the first round and broke the record.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that? Number three, South Carolina announces it will not sell alcohol this season at William Bryce. USC Junior becomes the fourth school to announce they won't sell alcohol alongside Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, and Mississippi State.
Huh. They won't sell it.
Correct.
Seems like that'd be
why are these schools
spot.
Not doing it?
I don't know.
Like, is it just like we can't get the infrastructure in time? We need more time to kind of think about it, or?
I don't think so, because in the statement I saw, it was just they said they weren't changing their policy.
Give it a year.
Yeah, maybe just like not enough time to get everything.
I bet they'd have it for basketball season.
Well, if a handful of schools start doing it and it becomes a cash cow,
yeah,
and they're like, oh, Texas A&M made $10 million extra revenue this year because it sold alcohol, then it's going to be pretty hard for schools, especially schools in Tennessee's position where you're not exactly in just rip-roaring along financially. You need some cash, it's going to be hard for them not to do it.
And you know Aramark has done all these presentations to these colleges, so they know what they have to do.
And number four, O.J. Simpson turned 72 today.
Yay.
So hope he
happy
has,
birthday, O.J.
Hope he has a killer party tonight.
Oh. Parker Pewitt, ladies and gentlemen.
That was
He'll
good.
Be here all week.
What would you give O.J. for his birthday? A pair of gloves?
You guys are on a roll. You guys are on a roll.
A meat slicer.
Parker and Trey, the new comic duo of our time. You know, they're just like a regular Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah, we're trying our hardest.
Cheech and Chong.
I think we're going to start on campus at small little venues and move forward from there.
Are there any good comedy duos anymore?
Penn and Teller are probably the only ones that –
I consider them more – I know they do dabble in comedy, but I consider them magicians first and foremost, right?
Yeah. Comedy? I don't know. Steve Martin and Martin Short are on tour together.
Yeah. They're doing a turning back the clock type thing.
I mean, nothing beats Father of the Bride with Steve Martin and Martin Short. Their chemistry in that
movie.
Their chemistry in that movie. No, it's hilarious because Martin Short plays the French –
What movie?
French wedding
Father
planner.
Of the Bride. This is the second time Trey has sung the praises of Father and the Bride. A remake with Steve Martin. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It's not a remake.
Yes, it is a remake.
It's a date movie, but.
It's a sweet movie.
Yeah. It is, but I mean, between Maroon 5 and the Father of the Bride, I mean, what?
Maroon 5 was a joke. Father of the Bride, I thought it was a good comedy back in the day.
No,
it didn't. Get a bit dusty.
It's good.
Why would it get dusty? It wasn't a dusty type.
It's
of
all
movie.
Right to admit it. I admitted it to Russ. What yesterday, Russ?
I'm not getting dusty about Father of the Bride. That's not a dusty movie. I'm just saying it was funny. Martin Short and Steve Martin. That was a great duo in those two movies. They were funny. I'm glad that really worked out. What do you?
No, I prefer if I'm going with them, I prefer to add Chevy Chase and give me the Three Amigos.
Agreed. Okay, I agree with that.
That would have been a better example. Like if you want to talk about
better duo, Martin Short and Steve Martin, or Steve Martin and John Candy.
I'm drawing a blank. What were Steve
Plane,
Martin
trains,
and John Candy?
Automobiles.
Oh yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Pretty good.
David Spade and Chris Farley.
That's the GOAT.
Yeah, that's probably
quality it. Duo.
Yeah, Spade and Farley.
That's quality.
Yeah.
Is there anybody doing duos in movies right now? Or are we forgetting
The Rock
anybody?
And Kevin Hart.
Key and Peele, like they were together for a while.
They don't do the movies together.
No.
Yeah, The Rock and Kevin Hart have done a lot
of
movies together.
They do a lot
lately.
Of movies together.
They just got done doing what, Jumanji?
Jumanji 2.
Yeah.
I like Kevin Hart movies. I'll go ahead and say it. Yeah. I watched one over the weekend, Night School. Yeah, he's a funny guy.
He's funny. The Rock isn't. Is The Rock funny? I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of those movies. He's kind of cheesy, isn't he?
He can be. He was really funny in it was either Get Shorty or the sequel to it.
No, Get Shorty with John Travolta.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was the bodyguard.
He can be funny.
He was funny for the opening 10-15 minutes of The Other Guys. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Speaking of
police. Oh, that's a classic.
Where it's him and Samuel L. and they're the cops.
They jump off the top of a skyscraper.
Spoiler alert. That was hysterical.
Head for the bushes.
That's a great movie.
John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell.
Okay,
so there's a couple of duos out there still cranking out the product.
Have they ever really – okay, which was better? This is going to be difficult. Step Brothers or Talladega Nights between that duo?
No, Talladega Nights, man. Won't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby?
I'm going Step Brothers.
I am too.
Yeah.
I think I'm going Step Brothers.
Talladega Nights was hilarious.
I think those were
– Thank you, Chet.
I mean, they're both instant classics, but I would give it a slight nod towards Step Brothers. All right, we got some Tennessee basketball recruit information for you. Jaden Springer, five-star prospect from North Carolina. He's playing his senior year at IMG Academy down in Florida. Coming up, has released his top five schools on Instagram, and Tennessee makes the cut. Top five. This would be by far the highest ranked player Tennessee's signed in the past 10 years or so. I have to go back. He's Josiah. I want to say was like ranked 15th as it stands now. I mean, he could fall down. This is a top 10, I think, top five type level player. Tennessee, Florida, Memphis, Michigan, and North Carolina are his top five. Now, here's the good news, because obviously that is – I know the Barnes Bashers like, oh, man, well, we're not getting him, right? We're going to beat out Penny and Mike White, who's already beating us out for a recruit, and Juwan Howard and North Carolina, where the kid's from. Like, I get it. But consider this. New rules, you can take an official visit your junior year and your senior year. So you can take two official visits to the same school. Jaden Springer last year took two official visits. The first one he took was to Tennessee, where if you go back and find the interviews, he raved about it, had a great time. Okay, not many people have ever – I've never read an interview with a kid talking about how he hated his official visit anywhere. But he had good things to say. The other official visit he took last year was to Auburn, who did not make the top five. So if you're just looking for any – sliver of hope, positive vibes out there in that announcement, his top five announcement, it's that the only school that he's visited officially in that top five is Tennessee, and obviously he'll be able to visit Tennessee again this year. I would hope, if I'm Rick Barnes, first of all, I'm hoping that he's a November early signee. I hope he doesn't wait till after the season.
Agreed.
Because I just worry, you know, if you take a step back this season, if things don't work out, if you don't, if your post play just sabotages your season and you end up not doing well, then obviously that would not help you in his pursuit. I would try and bring him in on another official visit for one of the big football weekends, maybe the Georgia game, something like that, maybe BYU, press for a commitment then, or maybe you play it a little bit later, bring him in the South Carolina game or something like that, closer to November, closer to the early signing period. But I would hope that he signs in November, and I'll bring him into a football game.
How many do we have to give?
Right now you got two, but it's basketball. Chances are somebody, you know, if they get Keon Johnson, who's announcing his decision in early August, if he commits to Tennessee and you've got Keon and Corey Walker Jr.'s your two commitments, and Jaden Springer tells you you want to come, you, guess what? You sign Jaden Springer.
Yeah.
You don't say, oh, no, we don't have a spot. You work it out later after the season. You run somebody off if you have to.
I don't know that I don't run somebody off to make room for – I'm being serious, dude. That is a Supe kid. I mean, especially as badly as we need help under, you know.
Yeah, but I get you, man.
Are you taking a flyer, though?
I mean, the dudes we're recruiting, though, right now are just.
I mean, is it taking a flyer? He's got offers from half the conference.
Yeah.
Several big mid-majors. Georgia Tech.
But, I mean, are we taking him over Rejetnev down in Chattanooga? Are we taking him over P.J. Hall? Out of South Carolina, who Barnes loves.
Yeah, no, I don't know, but I promise you this: if he doesn't play, we will see him, whether it's in a Tennessee uniform or we'll probably see him once or twice a year playing for another, probably for Auburn, I would imagine.
He's a rising senior,
believe so. Yeah,
so he's a 2020 prospect.
6'10" 240 pounds.
You over there with a tape measure or something?
I mean, no, I've seen the kid play.
Scouting bear.
Okay.
I mean, I've urged you for 2 years now. You might want to go see the kid play.
I mean, I saw the video piece that I believe it was Luke Slabaugh, who's moved on now to Tulsa, did on WBIR. I've kept up with
that video I showed you where he was dunking balls on West High School players' heads.
Yeah, I mean, I've kept up with his recruitment. I'm aware of who he is. It just doesn't sound like he's a super high priority right now for Rick Barnes, which might be a mistake. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I'm just, as it stands now, it doesn't sound like Tennessee's going to go after him. So Jaden Springer, Parker tells me, would be the highest rated recruit Tennessee has signed since Tobias Harris, who I believe was a top 10-ish prospect back then. Would be the third highest prospect we've signed of all time, behind Tobias and Scotty Hobson. Scotty Hobson was like number 5 or 6 in the country when we signed him.
Whatever happened to Robert Hubbs, man? I know he's still out there. I know he's trying to keep his game.
He's playing in Europe somewhere.
Yeah.
Saw a video of him playing.
He's one of those guys, you know, what if guy. What if he hadn't had all those injuries year after year and had, you know, what if he'd had Barnes for 4 years and take away, you know, half the injuries.
Could have done something special.
Great what if. All right, so we've got David Ubben coming up here momentarily. And we'll talk to him, obviously, about Tennessee football. He had a really good breakdown preview of the season on The Athletic yesterday. If you haven't, if you're an Athletic subscriber, go check that out. And talk to him about this ESPN analytics stuff that's got Tennessee fans getting hope, maybe false hope, some would say. I also want to talk about Garantano.
Yeah, I know.
And there's all this talk about him, like this could be his last year, like he's going to go pro. And I'm highly skeptical of that, to say the least.
God loving, but I just
– I mean, I hope it's right, but I just think
season where he can go pro.
I think Tennessee fans. Well, here's the thing: if he has a season where he can go pro, I don't want him to.
Right.
Because then we're stuck with an unproven Schrout or Maurer or a true freshman in 2021, a season that we need to be winning games. It's year three, right? So if he's good, I hope he doesn't go pro. I hope we get him back for a fifth year. I can understand he was a five-star coming, whatever. Like, he didn't expect to be here 4 years, let alone five. Like, I understand he wants to get on with it, and maybe this isn't exactly what he signed up for. Like, I get all that, but I do not want to be going into 2021. I don't want to be sitting here a year from now wondering which inexperienced quarterback prospect are we going to be starting going into the season. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
So 7 wins and you get Garantano back. You're good with that for 21?
I mean, would is
7
is,
wins next year and you get Garantano back?
Is the alternative go ahead and take off after a 7-5 season and we'll take our chances with a bunch of unproven dudes?
Sure.
Really? You're just like, we're done with him.
Why not?
Because I want a good quarterback in year three to be able to win. I want
Haynes King or Harrison Bailey. Just
then by all means, go ahead and start him. But if they're not ready, I'd rather have a guy who started a bunch of games and some experience. I don't care who it is. I don't care what his name is. I want the best possible quarterback. I don't like
Andy Suggs.
Yeah, I mean, like, you understand why you'd be skeptical going into year three with a true freshman starting right out of the gates.
Who's Andy Suggs?
Andy Suggs, remember former Tennessee quarterback?
A.J. Suggs?
Him too.
Oh. Yeah, that was just because Clawson. That was your Clawson kind of –
A.J., yeah.
He had tendonitis.
I was at that game in Baton Ridge. We played at LSU. Suggs was playing.
Overtime game?
No. That stunk. Was a different one. No, we won. No, the first overtime. Yeah. I was at that game, too.
In 2000?
In 2000, yeah, I was at that
game.
Yeah,
we lost.
We left the stadium, and Tennessee started coming back, and my dad was like, we got to get back in the stadium. And I was like, well, how are you going to get back in the stadium? He goes, just follow me, and we got back into the stadium. We just told the lady, hey, we didn't mean to leave early.
Yeah, Tennessee lost them overtime that year. That was kind of – were we 8-4 that year, I want to say, in 2000? And it was just the worst. Just the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Kansas State beat our brains out in the Cotton Bowl that year.
It was snowing like crazy. Ugh. I was in Paris during that game.
Paris, Tennessee?
Paris, France.
What are you doing in Paris, France, Trey?
We had a high school trip. We had a high school trip over there to march in the New Year's Day parade.
Oh, man. My high school took us to the freaking Museum of Apple.
I was in the New Year's Day parade in Paris.
Were you in the band?
No. Well, percussion, but no.
So you're in the band.
Yeah, that's in the band.
Yeah.
Well, not like.
What'd you play? The xylophone?
No, percussion. Drum.
Snare?
Yep.
You play the quads, too?
I couldn't do the quads.
So you were in the band.
It's okay. You were in the band. I'd be proud of that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
One of the things. Listen.
Yeah, freshman year.
I was in band. I played percussion, too, in middle school.
Did you play the cymbals?
And I did not. I quit because I didn't want to be like the band geek or whatever. It was too much of a commitment going into high school.
You were cool as hell being the head of the AV club.
It was. I regret it now. I wish I had done it.
My freshman
because
year
I'll
of
you
high
what,
school, I got to go to Paris, France.
All those kids who were in the band. First of all, music makes you smart. It's a proven fact. It's science.
Yeah.
You stay out of trouble. I would stay out of some of the trouble that I found myself in high school.
Yeah.
And those dudes, the dudes in the high school marching band,
get all the band
were getting
chicks.
More chicks than the jocks and all those kids did was like, you know,
the movie wasn't lying.
Bang drums,
if that's how you want to put it. I mean, that's it's a regret. I do not. Baird's going to make fun of you and call you band geek.
Oh, I know.
I don't make fun of you at all.
I had one of the best times of my life freshman year because
you got to go to Paris.
Freshman year, all I did, I signed up for that soccer and baseball because I could play the drums. So I got to play the drums. I only had to do percussion for 6 months, and then I got to go to Paris in January, and then I was done with band by February.
Now, I'm not making fun of him. I know I met a guy, I think he went to Fulton. This guy had an appointment. He went to the Air Force Academy, and he loved football. So he joined the band at Air Force and played the cymbals, but he got to travel. Like when Air Force came in here and played us, when Inky got hurt, he was in the band that year. This guy saw these great football games just because he just every once in a while he'd crash those cymbals together.
Yeah, but the worst part about it is I had to walk 4.8 miles in France with the American flag.
What's bad with that?
Well, it happened right after 9/11. So I was scared to death walking down the street.
Oh, you thought like
I was like some
terrorists were going to jump out of the
bushes.
Bin Laden
was going to attack Trey Wallace, ninth grade percussionist.
Yeah, maybe.
You're walking 4.8 miles with the American flag.
Where were it? Down the Champs-Élysées?
Yeah, down it all. It was fun. That was my first time getting drunk, too.
We drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
Stay
the
with
girl
us.
From Kentucky told me it was some good punch. I didn't know it was that liquor in it.
The drive continues. David Ubben of The Athletic joins us next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive, the best there ever will be. This is The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, it's Fox Sports Knoxville. Alongside Trey Wallace, I'm Russell Smith. Pleased to be joined now. David Ubben covers Tennessee for The Athletic. David, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for jumping on. Great preview you had on The Athletic yesterday about the Tennessee season, kind of an in-depth dive. You go through the depth chart and all the possibilities and all that. One of the things you wrote about was Jeremy Pruitt becoming more of a big picture, you know, CEO type coach. And I think one of the interesting questions coming into the season, one of the interesting storylines is whether or not he's going to truly step back and let Derek Hansley run the defense, call the defense during the game, not interfere with Jim Chaney, let him run the offense. How do you think that's going to unfold for the Vols this year?
Well, I guess we'll see, right? I mean, I think at this point, I'm sure he has every intention of doing that. But, you know, he knows it's his name on this program, and we've seen it so many times, young coaches, first-time coaches. You know, when things go sideways, and I think people, to some degree, some personalities in everyday life, you say, oh, I can fix that. Let me do that. Step aside. Let me do that. That's a natural instinct, and I think he gave into that instinct a lot last year, and I think he would, you know, you look at his moves, I think clearly he felt like maybe other parts of the program suffered, you know, his relationship with players, spending time with those guys, and so we'll see. I mean, I think generally the best head coaches hire really good coaches and let them do their job, and you sort of let it run from there. But Tennessee's in a difficult spot right now. There's a lot to do. The to-do list is, goodness, miles long. And there's a lot of ways this thing can go. And I think Jeremy Pruitt wants to be that guiding hand. And so, I mean, that's going to be a constant battle, you know, as he tries to build this program. Is you know, how often do you hover, and how often do you step away, and where do you do that, and where do you invest your time? You know, I've talked to a lot of young coaches, and that's one of the most difficult things about being a first-time coach is figuring out where that is as you're trying to establish your program. So, I mean, I don't think there's a real answer to that question right now.
Yeah, I know it's all speculation here. I know you don't have Coach Pruitt's office bugged or anything like that, but
we don't know that.
Well, maybe I wouldn't. You know, I'm not going to reveal anything here. So.
Yeah, that would don't burn your source there. But what you know, bringing Ansley in, letting go a little bit, letting other coaches take over, being more of a CEO. Do you think that was something that Pruitt, when he did his self-evaluation at the end of last year, said, this is something I just got to do? Or do you think that it could be something that Philip Fulmer sat him down and said, look, man, like, well, we saw the end of the year, you're trying to do too much, man. You're spread too thin. We'll pay for it. Go out there and hire the best guys you can get, but you got to step back a little bit.
No, I mean, I think it's, you know, I think Phil Fulmer definitely has Jeremy Pruitt's ear. I think if there's anyone that, you know, if he has something to weigh in, that nobody's going to be more qualified to have that input. But no, I mean, I think ultimately it's sort of, you know, it was his move and something that he decided to do. And it's, you know, we'll see the impact of it this fall. I mean, I think it's, like I said in that piece, you know, I don't think he's going to have some, you know, grandiose self-reflective interview anytime soon. But, you know, his actions speak louder than his words. And I think when you're, you know, saying previously, you know, I would never give up play calling duties, or you know, I'd love to do everything, and then you go on your first off season and you're clearly delegating more, I think it's easy to see, you know, hey, he's had some tough conversations with himself.
David, looking at the offensive side of the ball and defensive secondary, I think is going to be fine, but the biggest problem I've seen. It's a problem that Tennessee's had for many years now, his offensive line. Now, they have talent. They've got certain aspects with Wanye, Darnell, though Jameer, Brandon Kennedy, and into the fold. But the biggest problem has been able to protect Jarrett Garantano. How interesting question here. How much do you put on Garantano not being able to read some of the defenses and blitzes that were coming at him last year? And what do you put on the offensive line that Tennessee put on the field?
Well, I mean, I think he's put more of that responsibility on himself this offseason. He's talking about he has a little bit more control over his protection than he did a year ago. And I think it was a little bit eyebrow-raising when Jeremy Pruitt kind of intimated, I think it was on Vol calls a couple times maybe, kind of intimated that, hey, you know, Jarrett's got some responsibility to identify some of that stuff and relay that. But I think, you know, he would probably argue that he didn't maybe feel like he had the freedom or the know-how sometimes to do some of those things. And so, yeah, I mean, I think everybody's feeling good going into year two. But, you know, once the games start and, you know, things are not going to always go the way you want them to, things can change in a hurry. People can, we'll see how this plays out ultimately. I mean, I think you talk about sort of laying down blame. I think there's probably plenty to go around when you talk about the protection issues. But ultimately, you know, that's, you know, not really what matters. I think especially when you look at where Tennessee is at right now and its situation at quarterback where they don't have anyone behind Garantano, you know, protecting him is significantly more important. I think it wasn't a stress as much last year because you had Keller Chris, who you felt like, well, he can step in and you're not going to have, you know, a disaster scenario. But when you have a true freshman in Brian Maurer and a redshirt freshman in J.T. Schrapp behind him, it feels a lot more important this year that they've got to keep Garantano upright and on the field. And considering what we saw last year, that's a tall ask.
When you look at the defensive side of the ball, you're going to have Daryl Taylor. I'm honestly surprised, David, it's taken this long in the NCAA to rule officially, I guess per se, on Aubrey Solomon. I don't think it should be expected that Gibbs would get a waiver. But when you look at the defense, where's the playmakers going to come from in the front seven or even the front four? However, depending they're going to line this thing up, where is it going to come from? Is it Emmett Gooden? You know, is it somebody that we've not seen yet when it comes to, you know, Memphis or even Taylor? What are your expectations on the defensive line?
Well, I think Emmett Gooden's a pro for one, so I think it's possible. Yeah. He was playing as well as literally anyone on the defense the last month of the season. So yeah, I mean, it kind of starts there. I think Matthew Butler, we saw flashes from him this spring, and you know, they're really encouraged about him. I mean, is that a game changer? Probably not. But can this defensive line get to the point where it's not a weakness? I think that's possible. I mean, you look at, you know, the guys they bring in. I think you got to get something out of Savion Williams and Darrell Middleton. Those guys in the middle, we'll see. You know, does Elijah Simmons get in there? I'm skeptical that we're going to see much of him in year one. But there's a lot of bodies there. You know, what does Greg Emerson do? Does he get in the mix? Latrell Bumpus, does he get in the mix? I mean, the defensive line will be interesting, and I think, you know, the biggest thing you're going to notice about that group is, you know, last year they just leaned on those three guys, you know, Alexis Johnson, Shai Tuttle, and Kyle Phillips. Those guys played way too many snaps, and it was because they had to. They had almost nothing behind them that they felt good about. It was a lot of freshmen and then Emmett Gooden. That's pretty much all you had. And this year you're going to see a much bigger team effort. You're going to see, you know, a 6-7-8-man rotation probably. It's going to be a lot more guys rotating a lot faster out of there, and I think, you know, Aubrey Solomon, if they can get him eligible, certainly I think he will probably end up starting, and I think he could be an impact player. He was definitely on that track at Michigan. So there's a lot of potential there, but I would not be surprised at all if you're sitting here in October and no one's talking about the defensive line. I think everyone's wondering, well, can they stop the run? Can they, you know, can they replace those guys? You know, all due respect to the guys that left, I don't know that anyone is figuring out, oh, you know, how do we replace those three guys? They had a lot of experience. But, you know, none of those guys are really NFL guys. And I think that this roster that they're going to be throwing out there this year probably has a couple.
David Ubben of The Athletic with us, talking a little Tennessee football this afternoon. David, would be interested to hear your thoughts on this whole Jarrett Garantano's last year at Tennessee storyline that seems to be getting a lot of play out there, various media outlets. Like, what are your thoughts on that? I think most Tennessee fans hear that and they're like, the Jarrett Garantano we saw last year, like the same guy. But apparently that must be coming from his camp, I would imagine, people telling him that, I guess he expects a big jump with Jim Chaney or whatever. Just what are your thoughts on Giarantano's future here? Because he's got 2 years of eligibility remaining. A lot of people forget that.
Well, I mean, it's all about tools. And if he can't stay healthy here, which is difficult, I mean, there's certainly an impetus to leave. I mean, like I said, it's a tool situation, especially at quarterback in the NFL. And Jared has tools, you know, big arm strength. He's pretty accurate. He obviously needs to get better in a lot of ways, but you know, he's willing to put in that effort. You hear you talk about attitude and leadership and some of those intangible things. You know, you only hear good things, you know, from him, especially as he's gotten a little bit older. And you know, it's not the craziest thing because, like I said, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're putting up 3,500 yards and 30 touchdowns. No quarterback is probably ever going to do that in this offense the way that Jeremy Pruitt would like it to be. But can you deliver an accurate ball? Do you have the arm strength? Do you have the mental capacity to be an NFL quarterback? And I think Jared Garantano has all those things, and it only takes a couple teams to on Lovey D to get some positive feedback. You know, get out of college and get paid if you've got that opportunity. And I think there's probably a reasonable idea that if he comes back in 2020 that you can have a really big year. It's possible. But I can't say that if he left in 2019 to try and go pro that I would be completely shocked. I mean, the tools are there.
What about the backup spot? You wrote about this in your piece yesterday, again on The Athletic, where you mentioned, you know, Giarantano got knocked out of 4 games last year, and if you're a betting man, you'd probably wager that there's a pretty good chance we'll see a backup at some point this year. What's your thoughts there? Who has the edge between Shrout and Maurer for the backup job?
Well, I mean, I think you'd probably have to lean a little bit Shroud just based on experience coming off of the spring. I think, you know, the spring is for especially all those freshmen, it's just about figuring it out. Get a little more comfortable during the summer, and then the battle, I think, really starts during preseason. I mean, I think you have to lean a little bit Shroud. But there's a lot on the line here because, for one, you know, you got Harrison Bailey coming in. You might have Haynes King coming in. So whoever wins this battle in preseason as backup quarterback, I agree, you're going to see that guy at some point. And the loser, you know, would anyone be surprised if that guy is not on this roster this time next year? I wouldn't be. And so there's a lot at stake in that backup spot. And especially, you know, like we were talking about earlier with what is Jared Garantano do after 2019, you know, the 2020 quarterback spot, you want to get that guy some experience too and leave that as your insurance policy if Garantano has a nice year and all of a sudden he has a difficult NFL decision to make. You don't want to be sitting there going into 2020 just hoping that he comes back. You'd like to feel a little bit prepared. But there's a lot at stake in that backup quarterback job or a quarterback competition in preseason camp.
Well, I mean, if you look at what happened at Alabama, well, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, it was, you know, Blake Barnett, Bateman, those guys, they decided to dip, you know, either before the season or mid-season, you know, once they win the job. So it could put Tennessee in an interesting situation if J.T. Shroud or Brian Maher decide, okay, I'm going to go ahead and find a spot to transfer and get out of here now where I'm not wasting any more time and somewhere I'm not wanted.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just the way that quarterbacking is. People can complain about it if they'd like or, you know, lament the state of, you know, American youth in 2019 or whatever, but that's just what the quarterback spot is in college football right now. You know, if you don't have a path to become a starter, you're probably going to leave. And if you lose the backup quarterback spot in the preseason camp right now, and then you got 2 really highly recruited guys coming up behind you, the odds are not in your favor. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, whoever loses this job in the backup job in the preseason camp, I'll be very interested to see what they do, you know, when 2019 is over.
Look, last question from me, David. Looking at this schedule, as Tennessee opens the year, you know, the tough games between BYU, they'll have Florida all in the first month. What's realistic for Tennessee heading into maybe the final 2 games of the year? Or if we just want to go full go, what's realistic in your eyes when it comes to win-losses this year in total?
Well, I mean, you look at that back half of the season, you know, or even really the last couple games, like you were saying. I mean, it's literally just as simple as if you play well, you probably can win those games. And if you don't, you're probably going to lose. I mean, I don't think Tennessee's going to go up to Missouri feeling like, oh, you know, I don't know if we win this game. You know, certainly Tennessee would feel pretty good about their chances like they did last year. Same with Vanderbilt. But if you play poorly, you might get whacked. And that's happened to Tennessee, you know, each of the last 2 seasons. So it's a weird situation, but certainly if Tennessee is going to begin its climb up the SEC East ladder, it has to start with Missouri and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt would be a nice place to start. And Missouri there, I mean, I think this is a very favorable schedule when you look at them big picture. Eight games at home. You're probably going to be favored in all four of your non-conference games. You have that unfortunate reality of playing Georgia and Alabama every year. One of just two SEC teams that have to do that. But, I mean, beyond that, you have a bunch of games where if you play well, you'll have a shot to win them. Florida, I'm not super wowed by necessarily. I think they're a little bit overrated going into the season. That's a winnable game for them. I mean, I don't think anybody would expect them to win that, but would the world end if they won it? I don't think so either. So you have basically a bunch of winnable games that if you play well, you'll have a shot. So, I mean, there's a path there for Tennessee to get to 8 or 9. I think they'll be closer to 6 or 7. But it's a schedule that sets them up to have a nice year, too, under Jeremy Pruitt.
David, why did Hannah not send anybody home last night?
Man, listen.
I was pretty bummed about that.
It's a tangled web that she weaves. There's no question about this. Let's just say that all of us should have a little introspection and look for the Luke Pease in our lives and see a little bit less of them in the new year.
Why did I just want to throw his head into a wall?
I feel like you guys are speaking Latin right now. Is there
Hannah?
Are we talking about
John Hannah, the former NFL
They don't know what's
All-Pro?
Going on, David.
Chris Hannon, the former UT wide receiver back in the day?
We're talking about the Bachelorette.
Real G's know.
Oh. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I think of when I think of Trey. Real G.
Sometimes you're just taking a shower and the almighty creator says that you are, having a little too much fun in college. I suppose that happens to everyone.
Yeah, it's so fake. God, okay. All right, I got to stop. It pisses me off. This character.
I look forward to a sixth or seventh telling of Luke's, encounter with God in the shower. I'm very excited to hear that story told again and again on the show. Really, as many times as possible. Let's hear it.
And they filmed it in Knoxville last night. We filmed a good part of it.
Bachelor was in Knoxville?
I read about it in the paper a few months ago. I was very sad that I missed that Market Square shoot. Yes, Jed and my wife are from the same hometown. It's quite a connection. I'm sure that. She's very proud. No spoilers, by the way.
All right, David. Appreciate your time, man. At David Ubbin with The Athletic. Go check him out. David, thanks, man.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
David St. Ubbin. He was great with Spinal Tap back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
You had no idea.
Making his presence felt.
Goes to 11.
Here on the show. Was that David St. Hubbins?
No, it was Nigel.
Nigel Tufnell.
Never saw Spinal Tap.
You never seen Spinal Tap?
Yeah.
And you were in the band?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to go see Spinal Tap. I don't know where you would go to see it. You gotta,
I tried to load
download.
Some Spinal Tap up his bay. You can't. You can't load him up.
Big Bottom.
You're not a bachelor. You're not a bachelor.
Talk about
guy.
Bun cakes.
I do like the show. I will admit to being a big fan of The Bachelor, The Bachelorette.
It's a weird
show. I'm not watching this. I'm
the
not
girls
watching
from
this
Birmingham.
Season. Oh yeah. So it's a Birmingham girl and a Knoxville man
and a Birmingham man.
We get together as often
and a
as we
Georgia
can.
Georgia man.
Oh, so it's just a bunch
There's
of Southerners.
There's four dudes left.
It's like
they're all
Bachelorette
Southerners.
SEC.
I would love Redneck Bachelorette. I would tune in for that. Just like. Strictly Southern folks.
Did you not ever watch that redneck version of Jersey Shore? It was on CMT.
Oh, so bad.
That was one of the funniest
they
shows
They made
ever.
Us look
That sounds like a
horrible.
Great idea. I would love to see it.
They filmed it at the Floribama. Like, they filmed it in that area.
Yeah, they moved around. They were on the coast one time.
It was so bad.
I just want, like, deep woods, Louisiana,
bayou, get it, look
Bachelorette.
It up. Oh, Bachelorette?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're talking like full camo and shotguns.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking Ed Ogeron and the water boy. Vying for the affection of some young lass, some voluptuous young lady.
That wears short shorts and gator boots and.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Frequents the Walmart every night for her entertainment.
Well, I mean, everybody has to buy goods and services to get what they need, Trey.
It's not the Clinton Highway Walmart.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this.
Let's listen to The Drive.
Fox Sports Knoxville. It's The Drive. This portion of the show brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Jiffy Lube now has 5 Jiffy Lube multi-care facilities to supplement the 4 Jiffy Lubes in East Tennessee already. Jiffy Lube multi-care facilities can handle most maintenance and mechanical issues. Plus, they're an authorized Michelin dealer, so they've got your next set of tires at Jiffy Lube Multicare. Locations in Maryville, in Eagleton, Alcoa, in Clinton, and 6 throughout the greater Knoxville area. Check out Jiffy Lube online at JiffyLubeKnoxville.com. They are a locally owned and operated outfit, just like your friends right here at Fan Run Radio. Locally owned by the Gleason and Shipley families for a long time now. Bearden and Maryville grads, UT grads, good folks. They'll take great care of you at Jiffy Lube. And again, you can check them out online. JiffyLubeKnoxville.com is that website. Be sure to download a coupon for $10 off your next visit while you are there. Our phone number, you want to jump in, 865-546-8200. Let's unpack what David St. Ubben had to say. I love that. I'm so proud of myself. I'm so amused.
You sound
even
like
if people, even if nobody under the age of 35 gets that reference. I'll tell you one thing he said that I found interesting. He said Emmett Gooden is a pro.
He is.
Emmett Gooden.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you watch him on the?
He flashed a little last year. I don't know.
He flashed it. Whatever with Coach, what was that guy's name? The guy's.
Oh, you can't tell anything by that.
He flashed in that. The hell you can't.
You can't tell anything from Last Chance U. Like the best players in the first season, like they went to Nichols State. You never hear from them.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to discount what you say because you always agree with him, like every other third person we've ever had on the show. But yeah, you could see flashes in the games.
In the Independence, Kansas Community College games, you watched Last Chance U and said, that kid's going to be a player.
He was intriguing because I saw him make some plays in it. Busted up some double teams, some triple teams.
Okay, well, I mean.
Obviously, I wasn't the only one because the kid's playing at Tennessee.
I don't think Jeremy Pruitt based his decision on whether or not.
Nobody watched a damn game film from his junior college.
Yeah.
What you're saying is nonsensical.
No.
In an attempt to try and embarrass me in front of all our listeners.
No,
again.
It's not. But tried to act like you saw something based on a reality TV show that would lead you to believe that this kid is going to be an NFL football player. That is nonsensical.
No.
Friend.
No.
It's just completely absurd.
Push on you.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Really you'd be like listening. You with your little soundboard over there. I'm going to eat that thing.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I thought he flashed last year.
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty good. I mean, the problem was we played Tuttle, Kyle Phillips, and Alexis Johnson like 90% of the snaps. Like, if you go in and look at the breakdowns, he was averaging like maybe 10 snaps a game. He didn't play that much. But I thought he did some nice things. And like, to me, it was like, okay, like many junior college players who come in and flash a little bit his first year, and that second year, they take a big leap. I hope he's a pro.
Also, he was playing the last 2 weeks with a broken hand.
I hope he takes another big step this season because he's all we got as far as experience coming back. I think we got some talented guys, but he's all we got as far as anybody who's played, you know, any meaningful amount of SEC football for us. And what he played last year is borderline meaningful because he didn't play much.
Man, got to put pressure on the quarterback this year. Have to give the ability of the linebackers also to move through the gap as well. I mean, look, Tennessee's going to be hot and cold at times. You're going to have a nice little edge rush. Your linebackers, I think, will step up in a sense of I think you can be too deep there, at least in certain spots. Secondary's going to be strong. But, yeah, I mean, it goes back to the defensive line. That's why Aubrey Solomon's such a big deal. Like I'm telling you, Tennessee coaches, they don't care if it's Gibbs that can't play. They just want to know that Aubrey Solomon can play.
I don't pay enough attention to the way other teams rotate their players. But it seems like back in the glory days, and I know we were deeper back then, so we had this luxury, but it seems like Tennessee would rotate their, particularly on the defensive line. It's just you know, Darwin 8 or 9 deep. Yeah, your defense. That's a great example. That the 98 team, I think the starting tackles were Jeff Coleman from South Carolina and Darwin Walker.
Yep.
But you also had Billy Ratliff. You also had Billy Ratliff, Ron Green. I mean, and those guys, they played, it was like an equal amount of snaps. It's like they were, so nobody ever got tired. And then Brady Hoke did this the last year of Butch Jones, where remember, like, we just did not rotate. We just played the same four defensive linemen the entire game.
Because we didn't have any others.
And then last year, we kind of did the same thing. I mean, we had guys on scholarship. We had other options. They might not have been ready. Clearly, the coaches felt much more comfortable with Tuttle, Phillips, and Johnson. But it also seems to be – and wasn't that one of the opposing coaches' anonymous quotes in one of the preseason magazines was, Tennessee didn't rotate their guys last year, so we knew all we had to do was keep banging on them, and they would wilt in the fourth quarter.
That's exactly what I
agree with that.
And those were three battle-tested seniors last year who had played a lot of football and were presumably in really good shape.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter what kind of shape you're in. You can't.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's the SEC.
You know, are we going to do that again? Is Emmett Gooden going to play every snap at nose tackle for us this fall?
I would think not. You would hope
this
not.
This is backup.
Good question. well, you got a lot of people. You got the kid who broke his ankle, Greg Emerson, out there. You're bringing Savion Williams, junior college player.
He's going to come along.
Elijah Simmons, kid from the draft. I mean, you got options there, but these are all – like, they're all true freshmen. Savion Williams is a junior college player. He hasn't played yet.
You have to come in to make
a statement
quick.
We don't know.
That's going to be that's the interesting part, because I think Tennessee does have the balance at linebacker and at secondary. But if you're not getting any push up front, what's the big deal?
It's a line of scrimmage league. You got to be good up front. You just got to be, man. If you're not, it's going to be a long year. All right, so coming up, Parker Pewitt. I feel like we just talked to Parker. Is this hour almost over? Is this not like the quickest hour maybe we've ever done on this show? Is that just me?
Just you.
Okay.
We talked that.
The Butch burning down shows went by fast.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
So Parker's going to be in with your top five. He's going to get us caught up on what's going on in sports today. And then how do you want to do this, Bear? You want to just play your round?
No, you don't even have to do it.
Oh, no, you're doing
no.
it. No.
What?
Hell no, you are doing
what?
It.
What? Are you feeling okay?
Yeah.
After all this?
Did you hit your head or something?
No, I had a lot of...
Were you huffing gas duster out behind the big lots on Chapman Highway?
I was doing some deep breathing and meditation last night.
I was banging 7-gram rocks.
And did a lot of soul searching. I'm not going to ruin the game this year.
In the last hour and a half?
I mean, I'm the champion. Always will be number one.
That's not true. There's a big asterisk next to your one championship.
Whatever.
But there are some would say, and I can't even believe I'm running the risk of even bringing this up. There are some listeners out there, Bear, some of our more deranged fans, the loud minority, who would argue that you're ruining the game is what actually makes the game good.
I've been trying to tell you that for going on 5 years now.
I don't agree with that take. I'm just saying, like, if that's the way you feel, it feels like you're kind of taking your ball and going home. I'm giving
Megan Rapinoe, it's not, this game is not all about me, buddy.
It's a Rapinoe.
Here's what I think. I think you're scared.
No,
you're scared. You don't want to get 16.
I think you're scared.
No,
Trey Wallace put
never,
up a big 16
after
yesterday.
You fed him 16 of the easiest clues, and you probably already got.
No.
You've got. You know you do, Smith.
Stop
you've
it.
Got another sheet with Bear written at the top. It's stuff like Gibraltar and Kazakhstan and Mesopotamia and all these other hard ones that I'll never get. And you'll sandbag me just like you and someone who won't be named plotted against me to steal my crown 3 years ago.
You done? You done now? Because I got something to say too, big boy. I got something to say. You ready? Bawk, 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 bawk.
play the game, Bach Bach?
Not going to play.
Not.
Not going to. I don't want to ruin the game.
What
have you ever wanted to ruin something associated with this show?
Since I became a follower of meditation and Zen Buddhism.
Stay with us. Hour number three, coming up.